Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Tax Man Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and we're glad you're able to tune in today, and we'll be discussing a number of topics. There's been some interesting news come out over the past week or so, not to mention some good news potentially that came out about a month ago in some proposed regs that the IRS issued that we're going to discuss. I have my associate Dan DuBose lined up to join us. I think we'll do that in the second segment to discuss something that can be a huge planning tool, assuming it stays around once the final regs are issued. But anyway, they've been a while coming. The Secure Act, I believe, was 2000. I think it was 2019, if I remember right, December. So it kind of came through without much fanfare, but boy, did it make some changes in the IRA and 401 planning arena that were not necessarily what we would have hoped. But it looks like the IRS is having second thoughts and may give us a couple of options that we've been missing. So anyway, we'll talk about that more in the second segment. So as we usually start off the show, we ask, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you money or create significantly more wealth over the rest of your life, which is what we try to do. We are planners, while most CPAs are reporters who simply focused on what happened a year ago. And if you always focus on what happened a year ago, you're rarely going to be able to implement strategies that will save you tax dollars next year, which is our focus. Our focus is actually next year and for the foreseeable future for many strategies. They're not a one-shot type implementation. We implement, and then it's like shearing sheep. You get to shear them, I don't know, I'm not a farmer, but at least once or twice a year, I think, if I recall. And for those of you farmers out there, forgive me. At one point I wasn't aware it didn't take a rooster to make an egg. And it was only after living overseas where my wife, who 20 years my junior, even though she never stepped foot in a college, she's a lot smarter than I am. And she had a good chuckle when I asked her how we were producing chickens with no rooster. And I'm telling you, I know most of y'all are in that same boat, and I've asked many of my clients, friends, and associates, maybe two out of 100 know that you only need a rooster if you want to make baby chickens, not eggs. And anyway, common sense type stuff. So I don't know how many times we can shear the sheep, but I tell you what, we've got some tax strategies that we can do year after year after year. And as I mentioned a week ago when Dan and I were discussing, we don't take on a case unless we can get you, some longevity that allows you to realize a couple bucks for every dollar it's going to cost to implement it. And we're including the strategy itself. That's not just our fee. We're saying, hey, why would you spend a dollar to save a dollar in terms of the actual strategy? And that doesn't make sense to us. As old guys, we don't have that long to wait, so we like to do things that pay off immediately. Let's also get through our disclaimer that we need to mention, that just because you hear Nathan and Dan on the show today, that does not make us your accountant or be responsible for implementing your strategies if or until we have engaged. And, what we suggest always, when you hear something on the radio, you read something online or in a book, just because it's in writing or just because someone says it loudly on the radio or loudly at the front of the room on case study night, and they say it often, that usually means it probably doesn't fit your facts and circumstances, but you got to talk to someone that understands. And that's the problem with a lot of the things that we work on. There's not, unfortunately, a lot of tax professionals that understand some of the strategies and understand why someone might qualify, or why they may qualify but shouldn't do it because of other issues. And I can think of a lot of things that statement fits in the real estate private partnership arena, where, you know, your objectives on your retirement wealth creation will be different than some other folks we work with, in a certain transaction that might fit your objectives. Perhaps it pays off more in the end than up front. Others may pay off more annually, but not so much in the end. The numbers, the math can be totally different, and yet each one of those transactions fit someone. And it's a matter of finding that fit, making sure people understand what they're signing up for. These are complicated transactions. I know, because I look at them every day, and it's, I won't say it's an everyday occurrence, but it happens. I was reviewing a transaction yesterday, and I thought, my gosh, this is something I've never seen before. And so that stuff happens. Anyway, always check with your current professionals. Make sure that it fits. Make sure the information's accurate, that you understood it accurately, the rules are correct, etc., before you proceed. Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will chat with Dan Dubose, one of my tax associates. And, you know, if you have questions, you can text me at 713-581-0195, real time. I'll watch for them, and we'll try to get you an answer while we're on the air. We'll be right back with the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
A radio icon, his unique style and warm personality endeared him to so many. His endless stories and great music will never die. Paul may no longer be with us, but his memory will live on. KSEV is proud to continue with the best of Paul every Saturday evening, 6 till 8 p.m. Paul said it best as he closed his show.
We'll meet again at 700 a.m. KSEV in Heavenly Houston.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV. The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
Wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show this week with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I apologize for the technical difficulties we had there. I dropped the connection on this end, internet as it were. Has those issues from time to time. In any event, I want to welcome Dan Dubose, CPA, to the show again. Dan, how are you today?
Very well, Nathan. Thank you. How are you doing?
Good. Oh, I'm trying to recover. I still feel like I need to go back to bed, though, because it's boy, it was a long deadline this past Monday, and I, you know, I've managed to avoid those over the last few years, but you know, due to some of the players changing in my world this year, and my trying to have a transition of sorts, I decided that I better get involved on estimates and extensions. And I tell you what, I don't like it, don't want to do it. And that's why we're talking to Dan, because Dan is good at it and Dan likes doing it. That's right. That's right. Thank goodness Dan is on the scene. In any event, so yeah, trying to catch up on some rest. And at the same time, of course, I'm probably like you, we push things out after the deadline that makes it almost as bad right now as it was before the deadline, but at least there's no deadline per se. So
not immediate anyway, but yeah, still got those 6 months to go.
That's right. And I tell you what. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I got a little delay there. Go ahead.
We got those 5 or 6 months to work all this stuff out now. So.
Yeah, but you know what? The way I work, well, I don't know. Maybe the way you work, it'll be different. But I'm going to try to avoid the normal fire drill again in October. But, you know, I got to
say that every year.
Hey, I say it, let's see, what's my normal one? When there's something that, there's something we do, my wife and I can't remember what it is, but I always say, okay, I'm going to start 30 minutes earlier, and it doesn't matter. Oh, I know, it's when we pack. To come up country here as we are right now, I swear, I say, okay, I'm going to start 2 hours earlier because that'll keep me from being 2 hours late. No, it doesn't. It just means you find other stuff you want to get done and you fill the gap. Anyway, I will say this about the tax filing deadline. You know, it's the first time in a few years, as I said, since I really was intimately involved. And you know, the technology we have these days, I mean, it's not just what you're thinking. You're thinking I'm probably referring to the internet, etc. No, I'm referring to the ability to have a login into three different servers simultaneously on the West Coast, which gets me an extra 2 hours as we approach midnight, and the volume of extensions that I am able to get out by having that set up. And I tell you what, it's it just allows you to squeeze even more minutes out of the day, which, unfortunately, that's all any of this technology does for us. It doesn't mean you can go home any earlier or you can finish.
That's
just means you got more time to get stuff done. Well, Dan, one thing that I've been putting off, and I guess, you know, since we got past the deadline, it represented a good time to discuss it, because if this proposed, and I have to clarify or say up front, full disclosure, that what we're getting ready to talk about is proposed by the IRS. It is not final. And the way the IRS goes about the regulations that accompany the actual tax provisions, you know, that Congress passes. So the timeline is Congress passes a tax bill, the president signs it, and so now it's in law, and now we get to start trying to, or at least attempt to comply with it. And, you know, the problem we have is we don't really know what the rules are. The tax law is less than clairvoyant for those of us that are looking at it, trying to figure out, well, what does that really mean? And so what happens is the IRS, usually within 2 or 3 years, if we're lucky, listen to that again, within 2 or 3 years since the law became effective, you know, if we're lucky, they put out proposed regulations. And, you know, I can think back. I know one of the areas that affected me and my firm over the past 30 years or more is when we got proposed regulations for Code Section 704B, as in boy. And if you ever want to go to sleep early, go read that code section and then read the regs that are now final. But Dan, I don't know if you remember, but those were proposed regs for in excess of 10 years. I can't remember.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Yeah, they were. And Buddy,
modified many times in between all this.
That's right. All the time. Of course, you know, they put them out in a proposed form for comment. And, you know, they got an earful. Of course, they don't understand those rules much better than we practitioners do, or maybe I should say the reverse. But bottom line is 47 single-spaced typewritten pages are what those regs consisted of. And I'm telling you, I remember taking more than a few continuing education seminars where the guys teaching it were absolute experts, you know, big-time attorneys, tax attorneys with the biggest firms. And they would typically start off by saying that nobody, including themselves or the IRS, understands those regs. But here's what we think works. And the beauty is if you're trying to comply, the IRS, and you're doing it consistently, the IRS will typically acquiesce as long as you're somewhere within the bounds. But that's how complex those rules were. And so anyway, I don't know when we'll see the final regs on the Secure Act, which is this body of knowledge. But suffice it to say that I would say overall it should fall into the category of taxpayer friendly. I mean, there's a few things that are not welcomed, but all in all, in fact, what we're going to talk about right now is absolutely welcome. And Dan, you know, the proposal specifically buried within these rules that I'm referring to is an opportunity for us to obtain a step up in basis for assets that pass from an IRA or a 401 to heirs. And so I'm going to, now that I've laid the groundwork, why don't you explain generally what a step up in basis is and what it accomplishes, regardless of whether it's for retirement plan assets or it's just a John Doe taxpayer.
Step up in basis is very important to the heirs of property because the asset is treated at a fair market value based on the decedent's date of death. When the person dies, he owns property. If he owns property, assets of any kind other than cash, then we can get a step up in basis, step up to the fair market value at the date of death, which means when that inheritor, that heir, sells that property at some point in the future, then he's going to pay a lot less tax than he would have, probably a lot less tax if it hasn't, you know, it can always decrease in basis over the period of time, too, but most times it has been the opposite where we do have an increase. So the main thing is to allow for a lot less tax to be paid on the property that is inherited. It's very important from a tax standpoint.
Absolutely. So, you know, as an example, if, you know, dad or mom paid, you know, just let's use small numbers so it's easy for Nathan to do the math. Let's say we bought an asset, a piece of real estate for $1,000, and let's say it was a long time ago. So, and let's say it was a piece of rental real estate. So we got the benefit of depreciation, and over the next 27 and a half years or 39 years, whatever it might be, based on the asset type, we fully depreciated it. So the basis is down to zero. But the good news is that property went up in value over those years. Now, you know, you and I might differ on whether it actually went up in value or it was simply inflation that raised the value. But guess what? The IRS taxes inflation, or Congress. I shouldn't say the IRS. The IRS is just executing the rules as Congress drafts them, but they tax us on inflation. That may be a surprise to some of you folks that thought, oh, I'm paying tax because the asset went up in value. Not necessarily. It may just be the value of the inflation that raises that, and that's been a point of contention for many years, is that, you know, why are we paying tax on dollars that really, if you adjusted everything back down to the, I guess, the cost of living index or whatever you would look at back when we bought it, there's no gain, no true gain, no economic gain. And that's a big rub, obviously, with people that look at these issues, you know, tax planning or trying to write legislation, et cetera. But bottom line is, let's say it went up to $5,000 in value. And if that asset transferred at death, then there be zero tax due because the asset cost basis that the heirs receive would be $5,000. And that differs from a gift scenario. Dan, you want to explain what the rule is for those that are, I guess, a donee with respect to a gift?
Yeah, if you receive a gift as opposed to inherited property, the gift, but the value of the gift to you, the basis of the value of given to you is the basis to the one who gave it to you. So if mom gave you that real estate that they paid $1,000 for 27 years ago, then the value to you, your basis is $1,000 still. There's no step up in basis.
Well, they can, zero if they depreciate it.
Yes, right? Or zero with the depreciation as it is. Yeah.
So it's a big deal. And for those of you that are in the planning phase with parents, et cetera, you probably really don't want that asset necessarily today. You may want to wait, depending on the fair market value, depending on the historical cost basis, because that's a huge difference. One of the ways, or the basically the way that this has come about is those proposed regs have given some flexibility to the power of appointment rules. And not to get too far into the weeds, but the power of appointment is a right given to an individual in a non-fiduciary capacity to direct how assets will pass. And they've clarified or enhanced either the issue of when the power, there's two main issues for characterizing power of appointments, is when the power can be exercised and how the power can be exercised. And the strategy that we're referring to is with respect to a trust that would be created to have the assets pass through at some point after decedent passes away. So it's an eye-opener, and you know, there's a couple other eye-openers we're not going to get into today. We may on future shows. But I tell you what, this is a big deal in the estate tax planning world, whether you've got a taxable estate or not. And I guess, Dan, you would agree with that statement, I'm assuming, right? This is big news for basically anyone that
I
is
think
an
it's
heir.
Big news.
Right. This isn't just for those with estates over $11.5 million, or the case of married filing joint, you know, $23 million.
Almost $25 million now.
Oh, okay, that's true with indexing. And even if, you know, the Biden administration is successful in reducing that estate, you know, the lifetime credit that we get for state and gift tax down to the, I think they want to roll it back to the $5 million level, which that would be good. I'm fearful to go even lower than that, depending on how much pressure the progressives can put on Biden. But in any event, we'll stay tuned and we'll try to update you as we see things moving. And again, I doubt seriously the final regs would happen shy of, I don't know, Dan, what do you think, a couple years maybe?
Minimum 2 years, because it takes a lot. Yeah. The IRS is in such a turmoil now anyway from all these other problems that they're facing, you know, as far as processing returns is concerned. You know, this is at the much higher level, but they still got they're still begging for money. They're still begging for funding to do more work within the IRS. So I think they're way behind still, even with getting these regs kicked out with all the words that are going to come in to be talking about it.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't know. I need to look. I guess there probably is an answer out there. Maybe you know, Dan. Let's assume someone has a relatively small estate, you know, $1 million to $2 million. I presume there would have to be a filing to kind of set the line on these valuations, or do you suggest there's a way to not have to file the state tax return to get these
values? It depends on the individual, you know, and it probably should, I think, depend on the property that's being inherited. You know, if you've got real estate, you might want to get a hard number on it, because those are pretty movable numbers or adjustable numbers, or, you know, they can get several different opinions. But if it's stock, you know, the day I died, I've got a value that's pretty well
right.
known. You know, it's a publicly known.
Yeah, you just there's an issue I want to circle back with you. Why don't you stay on if you have time? Let's go ahead and do a break, and then we'll circle back and let's talk about this valuation issue. I just thought of something I want to run by. We'll be right back with the Be a Planner Tax Man Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and my guest today, Dan Dubose, CPA.
With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com. Again, that's nathan@npross.com.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV. BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
I am a seeker and you are a teacher. You are a reacher, so reach down. Reach out and lead me. Guide me and keep me in the shelter of your care each day. 'Cause I am a seeker and you are a keeper. You are a leader, won't you show me the way?
Okay, welcome back to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and my guest this week is one of my associates, Dan Dubose, CPA. Hey, Dan, I know you like some of Dolly's music, and I was just thinking as I was listening to that you know, I never really kept up with her. I don't know why I heard some of the songs that we're using for bump music. I wasn't really searching. But one thing I do like is the spunk that she demonstrates. And I remember it wasn't that long ago, it seems like, that I saw, in fact, it's probably just early this year, where she rejected the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nomination. She asked for it to be revoked, and the Hall of Fame respectfully rejected her rejection and basically noted that whether she wants it or not, she's a rock star. And, you know, they say that we have deep roots in rhythm and blues. Well, she's savvy enough to realize they're going to, with great honor, not vote her in. I think that was the whole issue. She said, hey, you're not doing that to me. I'm going to do that to y'all, right? But anyway, I always, since I saw that, I get a kick out of just how savvy she is. Okay, so valuations. I was listening to a podcast just yesterday, in fact, that had a gentleman on that was a long-time IRS attorney that worked in this niche referred to as valuation for estates and gifts. And he had some interesting facts that I had no idea. You know, you and I think about income tax returns, and we know a little bit about, you know, the numbers on how many returns get picked for audit, you know, depending on whether they're C-corps, S-corps, individuals, and, you know, those numbers percentage-wise are fairly low. And then, moreover, if you think about it, when you file an estate tax return, first of all, I believe it's still paper. Do you know right offhand, Dan? Can you file a 706? Yeah, it's still paper. And so think about
hundreds of pages too.
That's right. So think about the impact of the backlog that we've had over the last 2 years with COVID. You know, it depends on which reports you read. I've seen as few, like if you back up to last October, I know the number was somewhere up in the 8.5 million range. At least I saw several IRS reports. I think the report to Congress, the state of the IRS in January, referred to that. But I've seen others say it was in the 20 to 30 million category, which I wouldn't doubt either one. But so anyway, in that context, the gentleman gave the numbers for pre-COVID, how many returns got filed, how many they selected for audit versus COVID. And also, it was interesting, the size of the refund that was paid. And I can't remember the numbers on how many returns was audited. Let's just say it was, you know, 700 or 800, because I think there was about a 50% decline. And the average refund was somewhere in the $20,000 to $50,000 range, if I remember right. And then post COVID, the numbers on audits were 400. And I want to say this is out of no more than maybe several thousand returns. I mean, when you think about it, I guess that's telling us, you know, how many people had more than $25 million, right? Or $23 million, whatever it was in the estate.
Well,
but anyway,
12, you know, 12 million, 12, 6 is the number now. So in 21,
times
the number
two.
Was 11,580 to be exact, but $11,580,000. So you know, double that is almost, well, it's over $23 million. But
that's right.
Just the one person, well, in Texas, you know, where we are, half of everything is taxed for that. If mom and dad own a dollar, $50 of that is reported for the person who died. You know, so it's you know, that number could be, well, $12 million is a big number when you figure an estate, I believe. So that's one reason why the number of estate filings is so low. I mean, it is a large number.
Well, get this. The average refund was $500,000 post-COVID.
Wow.
Now, think about that. And this guy was saying, now, he's no longer at the IRS, so he doesn't have access to all the reporting, which is pretty voluminous. When he described what he used to be able to pull up as he was working on cases and find out, I mean, literally, they look at who the appraiser is in L.A. versus, you know, if you're domiciled wherever you're at in the country, they know the names of the folks that do this work a lot, and they know the soft spots on prior appraisals they've reviewed and argued about in court, et cetera. It's pretty interesting getting that insight from a guy at this level. But he reckons, and I think he's right, that COVID, you remember early on, a lot of businesses went out of business because of COVID. So he thinks that in large measure, COVID reduced or eliminated the valuations on these companies. And I don't know, or all these estates, I'm sorry, because they usually, and that's why I started listening to this, I knew he was going to be discussing private company valuations, which, of course, is near and dear to our heart with Roth conversions. And he talked a little bit about the criteria. This is very much a manual process, selection process. I mean, right down to where there is an agent somewhere that's experienced in estate tax returns and valuation that makes the call in their little honeypot, if you will, as to whether a return is going to get audited. This is not some big computer program out there in Never Never Land within the IRS that selects the thousands of returns for then they're going to scrutinize. I mean, this is amazing to me. Listen to this description from this gentleman that very, very experienced. But what I really found very interesting, the takeaway is that they're pretty much in the know on who the personalities are, where they're living. You know, of course, the rock star, movie star cases are such that so much of that information is public, don't think that other planners aren't using, points of interest in those cases. I know the Michael Jackson case apparently is one that this guy recommended every estate planner, evaluator, appraiser should use because of some of the facts and circumstances that he said were somewhat resolved that were surprising. But in any event, the point that he made, and this is interesting to me as a planner, is that regardless of what you may have done when you filed the return to get a fair appraisal or any appraisal, that apparently if you get an audit notice, first thing he would do, now this is once he's outside the IRS, he consults now, is he goes and gets a different appraiser to do an updated quote-unquote appraisal, because at that point everything matters and you don't go to court on a big estate tax case where you don't have all the ifs and what might happen issues resolved by someone that's at a level where they understand what the IRS has held in prior cases. And I guess what I'm was getting ready to suggest, when you talk about, you know, that there would be a filing on, say, $1 million or $2 million estate, those appraisals are not subject to the same level of scrutiny. Why? Because he made the point, we didn't want to audit things that didn't have a payoff. And, you know, we always look at the potential. And he said, we're forbidden by law from saying, hey, it's going to take this many hours, our return's going to be this many dollars. He said, you know, we can't do that. But the agent gets rated and ranked, peer-reviewed maybe not peer-reviewed, but certainly job performance reviews, where if they're spending their time on a bunch of no-change audits, that's not a good move for career advancement. So, you know, they want to audit the ones that are going to have some change. And so I'm thinking, you know, with regard to the assets we're talking about here, first of all, you raised a good point, and he mentioned this as well, is that, you know, the difference between someone passing away with a bunch of stock market assets versus even a piece of real estate, because you got to understand, when you get into specifically multifamily real estate, which is the area we spend so much time in, there is no comp as there is with a single family that's really relevant for valuation. It's more of a business valuation where you're valuing the income streams, to determine what the fair value is. And then, of course, you've got a fair market value, rather. Market's the key word. And then, of course, you've got to figure out what the cap rate is that an investor might demand. That would be the return to buy a particular property. So, you know, the more intangibles you get around these transactions, obviously the greater the discount normally would be. And he did, interesting enough, as I talk about on the air constantly, especially on our Sunday syndication mass show, the lack of marketability and the lack of majority control are two huge discounts. And my heart got a warm fuzzy when he mentioned in passing that 20 to 25% seems to be the area that the IRS, I don't know that they want to allow it, but it's been allowed so many times, they're kind of handcuffed, I guess, where, you know, that it's hard to get off that concept. Too many cases have been won by taxpayers that have ended up in that area. And that's why, by the way, that the Build Back Better Act is trying to eliminate lack of marketability, or at least scale it way back on, for sure, on family transactions. They're trying to eliminate that, and majority or lack of majority control, to just say, well, you can't take a discount for that, which is probably unconstitutional, would be my guess, because, you know, when you flaunt basic economic principles, that's what gets thrown out once a rational judge hears it. And so it's probably unconstitutional, but in any event, well, listen, Dan, I'm going to, unless you want to, you're welcome to stay on through the break. I tell you what, stay on through the break. Let's talk about how people connect with us and, And we don't have that many minutes left, so we'll be able to do that when we get back. We'll be right back with the Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and my guest, Dan Dubose, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at nprawls.com. Again, that's Nathan at nprawls.com.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be A Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me away, I want. Big dreams and big dreams. And there are many just like me with big dreams and big dreams.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be A Planner with, or Be A Planner Tax Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. I still have my one of my tax associates on the line, Dan Dubose. Dan, we really appreciate you joining in today. And for those that may be listening that want to work with us, I want to suggest, you know, there's several ways of getting into our processing stream, and one would be to go to the BEAPlanner.com website. That's BEAPlanner.com, and of course we've got a contact us screen out there. You're welcome to use that. You're welcome to fill out our intake forms that you'll see the link for at the top right. And you're also welcome to schedule a call, and depending on what your questions are, you'll get a call from either Dan or myself, and that would be one way. You can also call or text one or both of us, and I guess 713-581-0195 is the best number to text for me. Dan, you want to give out a number for text, by the way?
713-553-5458.
Okay, great. And if any of you send a message by text or the email address or the contact us, oh, I guess email. You can send an email to Nathan at nprawls.com, N-A-T-H-A-N, nprawls.com, or Daniel at nprawls.com. pross.com. That'd be another way to get in to us. And then we especially like it when you can fill out those intake forms, because then when we do have a call, we can be more specific to whatever your questions are. And I noticed as I was holding on through the break that the station played another time our commercial about, you know, have you just joined a new platform? You know, you're new to the world of perhaps private real estate partnerships. If you haven't yet had a chance to look at the documents that are made available to you for every transaction, you'll understand why we work with clients on a routine basis to help them understand what they're signing up for. And every transaction is different. That's all I can say. And I know the old timers out there going to say, well, no, not really. Well, trust me, if you get outside your little comfort zone, perhaps, of whichever group you're looking at transactions through, which, by the way, the whole world now is not renewing or not joining the old school, I'm going to call them travel agent, for lack of a better word, membership platforms. You no longer have to do that to invest in quality assets, especially multifamily. A good example of that, and I'm going to talk more about this transaction tomorrow. And for those that tuned in last Sunday, by the way, and didn't hear, I said the same thing a week ago, and then I was just wiped. The tax deadline just sapped my energy, and I just decided, you know what, we're going to play yesterday's show, and so that's what I had the producer do. But bottom line, I'm going to talk about the Bayou Park transaction that McCann Investments closed this past week. Full disclosure, I invested in that transaction, and I'm going to explain to you why it represents a sea change the way that these transactions are going to be structured. And I got to tell you, I am so impressed with Medina Sheikh, the gentleman that owns McCann, and his ability to listen to us passive investors and to understand that, hey, we want you to make as much money as you can after you get us the money that you've explained we should be getting over the entire transaction. And basically, Medina listened, and we tweaked. We went back and forth with attorneys, and we got, at the end of the day, what I think to be the new normal for those that are working at his level. This guy just closed a 693-unit apartment building in an incredible location right there along Memorial Parkway next to St. Thomas High School. You've probably seen it. I've driven past it hundreds of times. 693 units where the land value alone was worth, it's the flip side. Usually, Dan, when you do a tax return and you put a value on the land, I presume you guys use 15-20% normally. Is that what you would see?
Yeah.
Well, this one was worth $98 million of the $120 million acquisition was attributable to the land value. Very unique transaction, and more unique because Medina is not only given us our returns before he gets the overwhelming majority of his. And I don't think it's ever happened in a syndication deal. Usually the syndicators,
you talk about that.
Well, you know, normally the syndicator's getting all theirs up front, and it really annoys me, as you know, if you've listened to the show. But anyway, I'm looking forward to good things. One last thing, Medina is going to be the first syndicator that allows a third party to come in each year and review performance of all the related parties involved, the affiliates, et cetera, and indicate how well they comported with the private placement memorandum. And that's not going to be Nathan. Oh, it is. It's not going to be Nathan. It's going to be one of our unrelated party associates, an auditor. We're not doing an audit. We're going to take several bullets in the PPM, and we're going to indicate, hey, this is how the syndicator comported with executing. And we're going to do that year after year after year. And again, he's the first. If you're a syndicator and you want to be able to market that you're doing that, connect with me. We'll be happy to make you the second, maybe the third. Okay, we're at the end of the show. Dan, thanks once again, and we look forward to future shows with you. And we'll be back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., right here on AM 700 for the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.